As much as any other threat, recognizing and avoiding scams has become a necessary skill for today's retirees to develop. Join us this week on Plan with the Tax Man as we explore some crucial steps to hopefully safeguard your financial well-being against the growing tide of scams and identity theft.
Look up in the sky!
It's a bird!
It's a plane!
No, it's the Tax Man! He may not be a superhero, but Tony Morrow has saved many retirement plans with his extreme knowledge of tax planning strategies. It's time for Plan with the Tax Man.
Hey everybody, welcome into the podcast. It's Plan with the Tax Man with Tony Morrow and myself here to talk about your financial fortress, practical strategies for retirees against scams and fraud. And for this month of March, I think Tony and I are going to kind of stay with tech as our theme. We're going to talk about some scams and stuff this week. We're going to talk about some other technological, you know, retirement planning things on our next episode. So we're going to kind of use that as our theme this month in March. What's going on, my friend? How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Hanging in there. You and I were talking offline as we got started that it's just, you know, it's March already and we're busy.
Busy. And I thought these two topics that we're going to talk about in these next couple episodes would be,
yeah,
like you said, very, very timely. It's tax season. There's all kinds of things going on.
Yes, sir.
Hear a lot from clients. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Sending information back and forth, doing this. You know, the scammers, they love to come out in force at different times of the year, certainly around Christmas, right? That's a good one. Springtime, tax time, right? They tend to try to come out there. Oh, your tax bill is this, or, you know, you owe this and use your tax, you know, return to pay for it. All these kinds of things, right?
Yes.
Always something going on. So let's jump in and talk about a few things. And, you know, I got this first little news example here, Tony, that I wanted you to kind of listen to this and check this out. And then tell me things that you've seen similarly or heard, you know, within your own practice, right? Mm-hmm. So there was this news example, a little synopsis here is the lady named Marjorie. She's 77 years old. Lost $660,000 to a tech support scam where the fraudsters posed as bank officials and somehow convinced her to wire her funds into crypto to protect her money from supposed theft. Well, of course, they stole her money. Americans over 60 lost $3 billion last year in cyber fraud. Crazy.
That's absolutely crazy. It really is. And I think to elaborate on it, you know, most of the time, the seniors tend to be the bigger targets, but it can happen to anybody. And with all this tech going on and really us sitting behind computers and phones all day, it comes at us. And, you know, we were just talking about how busy we are. And sometimes you know, you're busy and you're not paying attention and you just go with it. And then something potentially could happen. The worst case I've seen in our own practice is we had an elderly lady several years back. She's just an annual tax client, but she came in and she had said that she had gotten calls from somebody saying that they needed money. They were pretending to be somebody she knew and they wanted paid in some kind of Visa gift cards.
Yeah.
And she kept going.
Yeah.
Going to Walgreens and getting Visa gift cards. Anyway, at the end of it all, before she found this out, she was out about $11,000.
Oh.
And this poor lady, you know, didn't have much to begin with. And, just a sad case. And that is what is going on leading to these huge numbers is stuff like that. People are getting, our clients are getting robocalls and scam calls from people pretending to be the IRS. And the IRS comes out and says, they never will call you.
Exactly.
It's always a letter.
Yep.
And, you know, don't fall for it. But people do.
Sure.
You know,
oh, yeah.
And it's all over. I just had a call. Actually, it wasn't a call. It was an email yesterday directly to me saying that the person's name and says, I need access to my portal. Please help. I looked her up on our system. She's not even a client of ours. You know, that's a scam email coming in.
Oh, wow.
Directly to me.
Yeah.
And
to businesses. So business, not just individuals, but businesses too. Yep.
Businesses. Clients don't realize it, but how much we spend dollar wise and also time wise in trying to protect their data. Cause it's all out on portals now, you know, all this tax data we got to be very careful with. And it's difficult. But I think from a large, big picture view, you really got to pay attention to what you're reading. And we'll get to some more examples here in a second. But it's terrible. And I think it's only going to get worse because we are getting into a society where we're not even using real money a lot of times anymore. You know, it's all transfers and EFTs and credit cards.
Yeah, exactly. And that we're going to, yeah, that's a great point. Cause like with your credit card gift card comment, we're going to run through some of this stuff, right? So let's kind of break some of these things down for folks and give some examples. We'll put a link into the show notes as well. That gives kind of more examples of some of the things from Thomson's Reuters, article from Thomson Reuters on there that might give a few more ideas for people to look through as well. But, you know, so there's, a lot of us have heard of phishing, right? We know about phishing emails. So there's phishing, vishing, so that's phishing with a V, and smishing. This is hilarious how we make up these words, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, so let's run through those three real fast. So phishing, of course, we just mentioned, you just talked about it yourself. Emails and websites trying to steal your data. That's one, right? So be diligent there. I think we've gotten a lot better about those. But, you know, again, keep your head on a swivel.
Exactly. Because, I mean, emails are coming at us so fast that, again, a lot of times we're not reading them and we're just flying through them very easily to be deceived. I would definitely check out, you know, the headers of your email, make sure it's coming from somewhere you kind of recognize. That's the big one.
And even with that, Tony, I would say still be very careful, right? Because we're seeing these kinds of scams. We've talked about this a little while back where, you know, you get an email from Amazon, for example, since it's so massive and everyone uses it, and says there's a problem with your order. Click here to sort it out, or it will help you get it taken care of. Don't do that. I don't care if it, you know, if it says Amazon and it looks like their logo and everything looks fantastic. Immediately just delete the email and then log in to your personal, you know, Amazon account, go on the web, whatever, you know, you go there versus a link they provided you to go there, right?
Exactly.
And that way you're going directly to the horse's mouth to see if there's an issue. 9 times out of 10, there isn't one. It's just someone trying to scam you. So definitely be careful there. What's vishing, Tony?
Well, vishing is if you actually get a call, and a lot of times these will come in through your cell phone because everybody's using the cell phones. And they're trying to trick you into providing personal information. And they're very good at it, you know. And most of the time, I mean, the easiest way to do this is if you don't recognize them, I would probably just hang up. It would be my best advice. If it's somebody you know or somebody that really needed your personal information, they're either going to call back or they're going to get it some other way. But this is where I think, and my dad's got a lot of these calls. He's a senior. He gets them at home a lot on his landline. And they're asking him for his information. They're pretending to be either a credit card company or somebody soliciting, and they're asking him for his, of course, they know his name, but they want his address. Sometimes they'll ask for credit card information. Some of them have even asked him for his social security number.
Yeah, exactly.
So you do not want to give that stuff out. No bank information. Yeah. Do not give that out. Nothing.
And they try some of that stuff too. This is the IRS calling or that kind of stuff, right? And it's just, that's not the case, right? They're going to send you certified letters. They're going to send you appropriate things of that nature. So smishing is also cell phones. This is just through text. And that's obviously the big one now too, right? Because it's like, again, it could even be the Amazon thing. There's a text from Amazon saying, there's a problem with your order. Click this link to sort it out, you know?
Yeah. I just had one of these yesterday. I pulled it up on my phone for this call. It was from a person. I get a text that says, "Hi, my dear friend. It's been a long time since I've heard from you. How have you been?" I have no idea who this, you know, this number is. So I texted them back, said, "Who is this?" And she said, "It's Diana. Didn't you save my number?" And I said, "I think you have the wrong number." And then she started asking me questions about my personal information. And it's like, why do you need this? I was playing with her a little bit. And finally got her to just stop. But I think she was fishing for some personal information from me, pretending to be an old friend.
And, wow, yeah.
And that's just a little bit too fishy, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And, no pun intended, right?
Yeah, it's just, so you got to watch it because they will, you know, they will. I've seen clients bring stuff in with text, pretending to be credit card companies. Again, your card's been declined. Yep. Please call or please provide information. Things like that. I haven't seen too many from the IRS. The IRS scammers usually call or send emails, but it's probably possible that they could start that. Again, the IRS doesn't text at all. They're very old-fashioned with their communication. So, you know, be careful with that too. So, I mean, there's three areas you got to be careful of.
Yeah, exactly.
Right there. It's just crazy.
And what's at stake, right, Tony, is obviously identity theft, financial loss, credit damage, emotional stress, right?
Yeah.
So the obvious kinds of things. So let's provide a couple of examples here. And I said, as I mentioned, we'll put the link in here to the Thomson Reuters that gives some more details on each of these. But let's run through kind of a few bullet points of the styles of scams that are going around. Government imposters, big one, right? Because people get immediately scared. Oh, crap. Yeah. I got to take care of this. It's the government, you know. And often that's what they're preying on, that and praying for you to also be like just scared and immediately do whatever because you don't want to, you know, have some sort of government problem.
Yeah, we have a commercial here, for example, from the Polk County Sheriff saying that, you know, we will don't fall victims to scams, that somebody calls you from the sheriff's office demanding money or you're going to jail, you know, that kind of thing. So there are, you know, there are, what do you want to call it? In an authority figure, and that mm-hmm. scares people just like government. And so they actually are taking their time and money to run commercials because it's going on around here right now. The people are getting scammed like that. And police would be another one, I would say.
Yeah, right. We've seen those kinds of things, too, where if you don't pay this amount, sheriff's department's on his way out to lock your house, to lock you out, you know, for some sort of. And that's like, that's all crap, right? Don't fall for that stuff. They do not do that. You're going to certainly be properly notified through certified mail. You know, so don't fall for that, governmental imposters. Sweepstakes. I don't know if I see these as much anymore, but certainly like, hey, you've won something kind of thing.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of people complaining about this, but you could see how this would work. I mean, you know, somebody calls, says you won something, and oh, by the way, give us all your information and your credit card to collect the prize or something you've already won, which should send up red flags right away. But again, people, especially maybe the elderly or people that are alone, a little more craving for some contact and conversation. So gotta be careful there as well.
Yeah. Robo scams. You talked about that. Robo calls and phone scams. The robo calls. So this big one here, folks, is, and Tony, like, I know you know this as well, make sure that you don't say yes. You know, when you get these phone calls where they're like, hi, this is such and such, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm having trouble hearing you. Can you hear me? And then you go, yes. And they record that yes. And now they plug that into whatever automated thing where, would you like to buy, you know, $5,000 worth of whatever? And they plug in your little voice saying yes, and therefore you're kind of screwed. So don't say yes. Just say, I can hear you, right? Or something
That's
like
right.
that.
That's right. My brother, again, I've got so many examples of this, but it's a robocall kind of phone scam where the scammers are recording people's voices, and then they're using AI to create that voice in a conversation. And my brother had an insured who called him up because he was trying to get wanting to know if there's any insurance coverage for this. But the client received a call that he swore was his son. It was his exact voice and everything, saying he had been picked up. He was in jail and he needed him to wire him $5,000. And
so
the guy did it, and it was a scam. The guy was trying to see if he could get some insurance coverage, but the insurance company said, no way.
Yeah.
But this guy, I mean, he's not elderly. He swore it was his son. Now, he left a voicemail, and then, you know, the father panicked a little bit, saying, well, I can't call him. He's in jail. I'm gonna wire this money right now. And he did. So that's an extreme example, but it does happen. And with this AI, if they hear me talk a little bit, they probably could somehow, you know, clone my voice and make words up for me.
Exactly. And that's kind of similar, Tony, to the grandparent scam, which is on my list. Fairly similar. It's a loved one scam of some form, right? Where, to your point, you know, you get this, you know, message or an email saying, hey, grandma, grandpa, it's, you know, Susie, and they've got the information, and, you know, I got in an accident and I've got to pay $3,000 for bail or, you know, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And people will jump to that. So don't do that. Worry about, definitely don't go down that route. The computer tech support scams, we just talked about that poor lady Marjorie who fell victim to that. Be very careful with tech support of any kind. They are hoping that seniors will be like, I don't understand this thing, so let me get some help. And again, don't go through any links or information that you've gotten via email or text. If you really are having a tech issue with your computer or a specific app or software, go directly to that company for tech support. Don't go through a link that some, you know, that you, especially unsolicited link, right?
Yeah. Unsolicited links. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. To your point about the grandparent scam, you're talking about that person that was messaging you and acting like they knew you. That's a new one too. A romance scam.
Yeah. This very well could have been that, you know, I don't know. I didn't get that far with it, but yeah, you really don't know. You know, maybe they're trying to scam you. And again, with the ability of, you know, you think about it on the phones, well, romance scam, what I'm thinking of is somebody sends you maybe a provocative pic of whatever, and people are going to say, oh, well, what, you know, what's that? Let's take a look. And then all of a sudden you're in a conversation with somebody you don't even know. And, you know, then all of a sudden you've given out some information you probably shouldn't have.
Well, they're playing on the fact that they're hoping that you're lonely, especially if they can find out if you're widowed or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
Single person. So those are some examples, and we'll give a few more things. Tony, we won't get too long on the episode. Let's go through kind of rapid fire some ways to better recognize the signs of the scam. I'll start with a simple one. Age old thing that grandma taught us a long time ago. If it's too good to be true, probably is.
Yeah. And I think another one, I mean, I'll rapid fire the next one.
Sure, yeah.
You know, if you get links and you start reading an email, you need to look at the link. I definitely wouldn't open attachments. Mm-hmm, I mean, that's a rule in business for us for sure. Even on a personal computer, that's how all this stuff creeps in.
Yep.
So be very careful about that.
Does it look suspicious? Yeah, exactly. Is it? We mentioned it a second ago. Is it unsolicited? You know, are you getting some random thing asking you for personal information or to solidify something that you may or may not have done and you don't recall it? If it's unsolicited, that's a good sign.
Yeah. And I think another one with that is, you know, if you get an email and the paragraphs don't make a lot of sense, poor wording, a lot of spelling error, things like that.
Yeah.
Definitely then look up top, see, you know, I mean, who does that?
That's a great point.
That's another one.
Yeah, a lot of scams originate from overseas in different countries. And so therefore their wording or their English translation may not click right, right? Something looks off. You're thinking, wow. To your point earlier about pictures or something like that, you're thinking, well, this person looks, or says they're from Florida, for example, right? But yet the wording in the language tells you that maybe they're not, you know, or something like that. So that's a great point, actually. Are they requesting a small amount of money in order for you to get a bigger amount of money? This one, I think most people are wise to this, Tony, but it makes me think about the one from since been going around the 90s, right? That prince in Nigeria that will give you $40 million dollars if you... You know, that one's so old, but there's still things going like that going around.
They must on that. I don't see that very often anymore, but every once in a while I will.
It's hilarious. Yeah,
somebody must be doing that still.
Exactly. But, yeah. What else you got?
Well, you know, one is, like I said before, you know, most legitimate companies aren't going to have you pay them in gift cards.
Yeah.
You know? And so be very careful of that because just like my little story with my little tax client, I mean, that's almost for sure a scam.
Yeah.
So just don't do that.
Yep. Okay. So let's beyond like spotting those red flags, let's talk about some protections. We'll wrap it up with some protections here to avoid being a scam victim. Obviously, in today's day and age, we're all sick to death of passwords. I get it. But it is the world we live in. So create some strong, unique passwords. And for God's sakes, folks, if it's financially related, please change them regularly.
Absolutely. I always encourage clients to get a password keeper that randomly generates passwords, have different passwords for every site. Because if you have the keeper, you don't need to know that. You just need to know your master. And, you know, I so many clients have the same password for every single site. We've all heard it. And like you, I hate them too. I hate multi-factor authentication, but it's the world we live in, and it'll certainly protect you a lot better than having, you know, your first and last name is your password. I mean,
yeah,
it doesn't take very long for hackers to break that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I get it. We all hate it at this point, but you got to do it, man, especially when it comes to your financial stuff. Monitor your bank statements and credit card transactions regularly, folks. We can probably tie these two here together, Tony. Turn on those fraud alerts, right, with your credit cards. I mean, every time I make a transaction, it's annoying to get that extra message, but so what? You know, hey, you charged $47. Well, if I know that I did it, then I ignore the email. But if I see I charged $47 and I don't recall doing it, it allows me to think, well, let me go dig into this.
Yeah. I think if you don't have that on your credit cards with the tech that they have and will offer you with that, that's just plain silly. And then I think we always tell our clients, even personal clients, you need to be reconciling your bank statement and credit cards every month. Now, many don't do it. And that's when you're going to miss something that maybe slipped through on that bank statement you didn't know about. Because all you're doing is, you know, living off of the last ATM slip you got.
Right.
You know, you had this much money in your bank account.
Yep.
And that's how things could go unnoticed in small amounts. Because the good ones with bank accounts, they'll slip stuff in very small, odd amounts to hopefully go unnoticed.
Yeah, great point, Tony. Great point.
Yeah, they're not big dollar amounts. And then next thing you know, you've got 15 charges, say from like a Google of $12.50 over 5 months, you know, and
yep.
That's how they do it. And then once you catch on, they move to the next guy.
Yeah, for sure. I just got one myself it's a gaming service. I know it's a legitimate service called Twitch, but I've never used it. And there's no teenagers in my house. And all of a sudden I had three random Twitch, $7, not a big deal, you know, but I'm like, well, that's not, I didn't do that. So of course I immediately talked to the credit card company and they got it reversed. So somebody gets your information and yeah, to your point, they're hoping you will just be like, oh, $7. Oh, I don't remember what that was and move on. And then it's a reoccurring monthly charge. Well, you got three of them now, $21 a month, every month. Hey, you know, that adds up. So, and if they're doing that to 100 people, well, they're making bank. So, you know, let me ask you, as a tax professional and a financial professional, Tony, what do you think about, you know, retirees, pre-retirees, really anybody freezing their credit, especially like if you're set as a retiree or a pre-retiree, if you're over 50, there's a good chance that you're not planning on opening any new lines of credit soon. And if that's the case, is it worthwhile to freeze your credit?
I think depending on your situation and the amount of money you have, I think it's worth looking at. Absolutely. Because you can always unfreeze it and you don't have any need to run out and, you know, get credit. And it's just going to make it that much harder for somebody to really get one over on you or, you know, get credit cards out there. It is a little bit more work to then go get some credit to unfreeze it. But again, you're not in any real rush. So.
Well, I think they've made this technology better too, right? I think you can go on to the credit rating places and just put a freeze on it. And it basically just means nothing new can be opened under your name until you unfreeze it. And I don't think the steps are all that complicated now. So,
no, not like they used to be.
No, it's for sure.
You know, just a couple really extra steps, logging in and
verifying
like
and
freezing it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it could be worthwhile. It's a great way to protect yourself. So last piece, we'll wrap it up. I know we're getting a little long here, folks, but just some digital housekeeping real quick. Keep your antivirus software up to date. That's a good one. What else, Tony?
I'd avoid using public Wi-Fi, you know, especially definitely don't use it and access any type of bank info or any personal data if you're going to do that. So.
Good point. Like, you probably have a public Wi-Fi there at the office, you know, many doctor's offices, lawyer's offices, so on and so forth, right? Yeah. They offer public Wi-Fi while you're waiting, especially doctor's offices, right? Because you're there hours or whatever, and you want to jump on your phone and do something. Well, fine, if you're using that, but keep that real basic. If you're jumping on to check your Twitter or something, fine, maybe, right? But certainly don't go checking your bank. Don't go into your banking app while you're on unsecured public Wi-Fi. That's a no-no. Let's not do that.
A no-no.
And then finally, you know, you talked about passcodes and we talked about passwords. Well, make sure that you've got something on your phone that way too, right? Don't use your address as your passcode. You know, some people like to use their fingerprint, and that's fine, you know, or that design thing where you got to draw some weird pattern to unlock your phone. But just consider having, you know, secure your phone, lock it up too.
Yeah, even now with the iPhones, you know, the Face ID is better than just nothing at all.
Yeah, the Face one still weirds me out though, right? I don't know how I feel about that. It's like,
I know. I don't trust it.
I don't either. Then you got my face too. But of course, I guess at this point, everybody's posted pictures of themselves on Facebook at some point. So our faces are everywhere anyway.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. But, you know, there's that two-factor stuff too, right? A lot of companies now are almost forcing you to do that.
Yeah.
So
we make them for our payroll clients, you know, to get into their portals. We have the two-factor authentication.
Yeah.
For every payroll client's employees, you know, and some employees really don't like it, but we tell them we're not shutting it off, because if somebody gets in and changes your bank account information, you know, then that's going to be bad for you. And so it's for your own protection. So,
yeah, but definitely. Well, you know, final summary, folks, you know, there's a lot of scams out there. If you do think you're a victim, immediately start calling the companies you need to talk to. If you're working with a financial professional like Tony, for example, reach out to them and let them know so they can immediately take steps if you feel like your information's been compromised of whatever level. And of course, if it's egregious enough or you're concerned, call the police, whatever the case is, but take steps to protect yourself. So hopefully this helps you out a little bit here on this episode, The Financial Fortress. And Tony, anything else before we go?
That's it. Looking forward to next meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're going to continue on with the tech stuff here again, because it is that time of year. Tax season is upon us and the scammers do come out in force. So protect yourself out there, folks. And if you need some help, reach out to Tony and his team at yourplanningpros.com. yourplanningpros.com. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple, Google, Spotify, and we'll see you next time here on Plan with the Tax Man.
Securities offered through Avantax Investment Services, SM. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Avantax Advisory Services. Insurance services offered through an Avantax-affiliated insurance agency. Investment strategies discussed in this episode may not be suitable for all investors. Please consult with a financial professional.